Hi, I'm Scott Clapson on KCIW. I'm sitting here with Janice Scanlon, the executive director of the CHETCO Activity Center. How are you, Janice?
Doing great.
Awesome. Welcome to KCIW. Mm-hmm.
Thanks.
So you're the executive director of the CHETCO Activity Center.
Yes.
Yeah. What do you all do at the Activity Center?
Oh, you would be amazed. You know, we have meals every day of the week. We have Monday through Friday at 11:15. We start serving meals. And we serve up to, yesterday was 108 people.
Oh, wow. That's amazing. Was it a special day?
Birthday Day. We call it Turkey Birthday Day. But they have, on the last Wednesday of every month, we always have a full Thanksgiving dinner. And people look forward to that. But we also celebrate everyone who had a birthday during that month.
Oh, cool. And you had a couple of guests yesterday as well.
Yes, we had one person speaking from Compassionate Friends. So we use that time while we have so many people in the dining room to let the diners know about things that are going on in the community that would benefit them. The other is Seaview. Seaview comes every month and they sort of sponsor that day. And they come in and do some drawings and give away prizes for the people who have birthdays. And then they call the unbirthday prizes. They do drawings.
Oh, cool. That's awesome. Everybody likes to have their birthday celebrated. So more than meals, you all do a lot more than that here, correct?
Yeah, exercise. Even now, I hear music playing and people stomping feet because we have music, we have classes, we have educational classes, as well as things like Tai Chi. We have exercise. We have activities to get people up and moving. The newest thing we've got going is pickleball.
Oh, that's right. Pickleball. You want to tell us about pickleball?
Pickleball is hot on the East Coast. It's barely just making its inroads into the West Coast. But it's kind of a reduced or a lightened up version of tennis. And it's played indoors on a much smaller area. So you don't have so much running. It's very low impact. You use lighter weight paddles, lighter weight ball, everything to just make it a little bit easier on older joints, but it is really a fun game. And so every Sunday over at the high school, we don't have the room to do it here. So the center is actually just the center of town, but we have several activities that actually occur outside this building. And pickleball is played at the high school in the gym every Sunday from 1 to 4.
Oh, cool. And then the CHETCO Activity Center also has an exercise class that meets off-site, correct?
Yes, at the Adventist Church. Again, our building just was not large enough to handle the 40. Or she was up to 40 for a while. I think during the winter months, she gets down to about 20 people in the class. And so it's, again, a very light exercise class, but yet still challenging enough to get us up and moving. But for people with arthritis or recent surgeries and things, it makes absolute perfect sense. And she is a retired phys ed teacher and everything. So she knows what she's talking about, and she's very good at it, coaching people and encouraging them to move. Some people even exercise sitting in chairs if that's what's appropriate for them.
Oh, cool. That's awesome. And then the Tai Chi classes actually happen here at the center.
That does happen here. And again, they're starting to get bursting at the seams as well. Sometimes on nice days like today, they'll actually even go outside and do their Tai Chi class. But we have two different levels of Tai Chi. At 9 o'clock every Wednesday and Friday morning, we have a group that meets that's much more advanced. And they're very serious about their Tai Chi. And so it's like they have to be very studious and quiet and really pay attention. Now, the group that meets at 10:30 is a much more beginner class. That would be where all beginners could start, but it's kind of social. And I've heard of even some dating happening outside that class. But it's a fun class. It's a lot lighter and still, you know, it's still getting people up and moving. And it's a lighter beginner Tai Chi that begins at 10:30 every Wednesday and Friday.
And then you all have a walking group that you do, correct?
Yes, you should know about that one, Scott. We have what was called Walk with Ease. It's co-sponsored by our organization and also the Arthritis Foundation and OSU Extension. And what this class is designed to do is, again, to get those people up and moving who haven't been accustomed to doing so. Perhaps they've had a surgery or they've just gotten out of the practice. Or they have arthritis. They have joint situations that they need to be very careful about how they exercise. exercise. I know me myself, I can't do a lot of jumping because I have back issues. And so it makes perfect sense to have a beginning class so they don't feel uncomfortable going into a class where everybody's jogging miles, that these folks have a beginning place. And it's Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and it's at 10 o'clock in the morning, and they actually walk around Azalea Park and look at flowers, get to know each other, and talk.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. This is our second one that we did.
Mm-hmm,
We did one last September.
There's even a book. There's a book, and there's a little bit of studying involved that we walk, stretch, warm up, and do it appropriately. We don't want anyone to get hurt. And that's where the Arthritis Foundation came in. They've provided the books and they provided the learning materials. And so we do stick a little bit of education in there along with some fun walking.
Yeah, and it's been interesting actually at this new group that just started. Because a couple of the members of the group, when I go to do the sharing at the beginning, they already know because they've read ahead in the book. And that actually
that's
makes
great.
Me feel good.
That is great.
Glenda, my co-leader of the team, Glenda Groff, and I, of the walking group, we've been joking about how some of them are doing their quote-unquote homework in advance.
Yeah.
Because when we do it, they start telling me instead of, which is kind of the goal, right?
You don't have to prompt them or coax them or try to get them to read.
Exactly, because they've been reading in the book and they're aware of what's happening. So it's a lot of fun. That group, anybody's welcome to join that group.
And it's free.
And it's free.
Everything we've talked about so far has been
completely
free.
Also, there's a great nutrition class that happens here on the last Friday of the month. You want to tell us about that?
Oh, man. About 2 years ago, I met with a couple of people here in the community. One was the leader of the St. Timothy's Medical Clinic. And we got together and she said, Janice, I'm so perplexed. We have so many people come into our clinic with preventable diseases. What could we do to prevent disease? And so we hit upon the idea of nutrition classes. And then, okay, well, where could we have them? By golly, I seem to have a lot of room here. So then we called in OSU Extension and we said, well, how could we provide these classes? And about 2 years ago, these classes were born where that Stephanie Palizzi, a registered dietitian, comes down from OSU Extension and provides us very up-to-date, accurate information about how to eat healthy, take care of our bodies, and nourish them in the proper way to prevent disease. The whole aim of this class is to prevent diabetes or heart disease or some of the other common maladies that we, digestive issues, because she teaches us how to eat properly, how to cook food properly. She always brings us tons of resources and lots of information. We've been doing it for 2 years. Sometimes the class fluctuates. It'll go down to, two or three people, and we get a little sad, but I think the people who really need to be here are here, and we have had everything from heart disease prevention. We've had how to eat well on a budget, a very tight budget. How can we do that? We've talked a lot about different kinds of food that we're not accustomed to eating. She likes everything raw. She likes everything very healthy. She's mostly not recommending a lot of meat, really vegetarian-based diet. She really talks a lot about Ornish's kinds of food and diet programs and just trying really hard to prevent people from ever needing to go to a clinic.
And there's a free lunch involved with that.
There is. We cook three lunches every Friday at those classes. They're actually the last Friday of every month to make it a regular event that people can plan ahead. So the last Friday of every month, this center actually creates three different lunches. We have an alternate lunch every day. We have our main lunch every day. Those are both upstairs. But Eleanor actually cooks a different meal for the downstairs group that Stephanie sends us the recipes for. And Eleanor sometimes has to go shopping. She didn't even know what quinoa was until we got this started. And so she's had some learning curve as well, trying to learn how to prepare some of these foods. And I remember the first time we had the chocolate class and all that, everybody's going chocolate, but there's definitely a reason to be having chocolate and a way to enjoy it. So it's a great class, and we've had a wonderful reception to it in the community.
Oh, that's wonderful. And we've been really busy here at the Czech Coactivity Center for the last few months because AARP sponsors a tax aid program here as well.
Yes, for low-income folks or for people with simple returns, primarily the 1040 and the 1040 Easy. The ones that are very simple, the people can come in and have their taxes done for free. It is for free. The center provides all the equipment, all the furniture, the volunteers to do the program, and ARP provides the software. And they provide the training materials. We have volunteers only. That way we can keep the cost as low as possible. And we have, it's checked by two different people before it's actually e-filed. All of them are e-filed. And it's mainly geared for seniors, but also for low-income folks as well. And these, again, are free services. We do ask that if people are able to make a donation to the center to help us pay for all those computers. This year, we got all new computers. We got all new tables. We had to repair the barricades that are between each station to give them a little bit of privacy. So we do have a cost involved, and certainly electricity and things like that. So we appreciate any donations that people are able to make. But again, the program is free.
Well, that's wonderful. There's so many things that happen in this building. Amazing. It's really amazing. So there's so many things that happen here. How do you all keep this building going?
That's a good one. I looked at the budget this morning for 2015. We're running at about a $5,000 deficit every month. It literally runs on donations. The whole place runs on donations. And it's going to be my job to increase those donations over the coming year. Anything from bequests to estates. We do have one large estate that was left to us that kind of built the building and it initially provided the funds for this property and everything. But it's in a trust and we're not allowed to touch the principal. We basically can only use a certain portion of the interest of that funds. But other than that, it's really donations. We have a donation from Kroger from time to time. We have donations from the community and donations from the people who come here and use the services. But it's a 501c3. We have two primary grants that we operate on. We have one from the USDA and its seniors program from the U.S. government that provides food. Then it's called, and that one is administered by SCBEC. We get about $5,000 a month for feeding people. Only people who are over 60. That's what the grant was designed to do. We also have a grant that covers the timeout program. We haven't even talked about that one yet.
I know.
Every Monday, people who are caregivers for a person in their home who has Alzheimer's or any form of dementia can actually get the day off. And again, the service is provided for free by this center. We have a small grant that helps to cover the cost of that program. It is all, again, run by volunteers.
That's so awesome. So people can come here if they have someone that they're caring for in their family or a friend or someone, and they can come and have that person come here and enjoy activities and sing-alongs and different things, bingo and lunch. So that person can go and they can have a day to go do whatever they need to do.
And feel comfortable that their loved one is being cared for and having fun, and the people who come enjoy it. They want to come here. And so just getting them out of the house sometimes is even a challenge. But after a while, they start looking forward to it. And then the caregiver gets a day off. They can go to the beach. They can go shopping. They can do their own doctor's appointments and things like that on Mondays, because we'll watch their person, their loved one, from 9 o'clock in the morning till 4 in the afternoon.
Oh, wow.
Every Monday.
Every Monday. That's wonderful. Yeah, it's a lot of fun. I played bingo with them a couple times, and we do little sing-alongs to KURY sometimes. So for those people that can't make it to the center, we have a lot of seniors in the community maybe that are housebound or don't have a vehicle or things like that. What about their nutrition needs?
One of the things I'd like to point out is we have an excellent program that also rents a space in our building and operates out of this building. It's called Curry Public Transit. And Curry Public Transit is half price for seniors. Mm-hmm. And many of our diners actually come in on the transit system. It's really important that if at all possible, people get out of their homes, because socialization is a need. It's a physical need as much as food and shelter. So getting out of their house is important. If they could just at least get up and out and come to the center once in a while and be able to enjoy the meal here. Again, our meals are, we ask for a donation from anyone over 60. But if someone's under 60, they get a really dandy meal complete with a dessert and any drinks that they want. It's for $7.
And a salad bar, correct?
Yes, a full salad bar. So then that's $7 for anyone under 60, anyone over 60. We ask for a donation of $5 if they have it. Now, so if someone's able to come into the center, I'd really prefer that they be able to do that and socialize. When I stand in the middle of that dining room and I hear all the buzz and the whole, how are you? How are you doing? How's that illness that you had? How are you? You know, the comments, the conversations that people have, the way they look forward to seeing each other each day, all those things are priceless. And so if possible, now, if someone absolutely cannot come into the center that way and they don't drive, we have a Meals on Wheels program that operates out of this building. Every day we have 4 volunteers that show up at the door. Eleanor gets here at 6 in the morning and begins preparing a meal for them. It's packaged up. We have specific guidelines for the temperature of the food when it arrives on their doorstep. We have guidelines for exactly what food to put in those meals, all supplied by the U.S. Department of Agriculture. So now we provide these foods through a system of volunteers who drive to their house and deliver the meals. We do about 1,500 of these meals every year.
Wow, that's a lot of meals. Mm-hmm. And that program is specifically geared towards seniors.
Primarily seniors 60 and over. We can provide meals if they're, like, if someone has a surgery and they can't fix their own food for just a short period of time, we can do that. If they're under 60, we do ask that they pay for the meal. If they're over 60, again, it's a donation.
Okay. That's a wonderful service.
Yes.
It's an excellent service.
Many young people that are maybe don't even live here will often call us and ask for those services for their loved one who lives here in Brookings.
Yeah, we get a lot of calls at the reception desk from people that have a family member where
they're worried about.
Yeah, or they've moved here recently and they've got a parent who maybe needs some services. And yeah, there's a lot of calls that come through the front desk about
that.
Yes,
there are.
Yeah. So the primary mission of the Chetco Activity Center is,
according to all our paperwork, our mission is written as: the primary purpose of the Chetco Activity Center is to provide services, functions, activities for older adults in and about Brookings Harbor. Now, since I've been here about 4 years now, we've been expanding that mission. We now are including all nonprofits. We want to become a central meeting place for people, and primarily so it becomes owned by the community. This building is too great a resource to just be sitting here playing cards in a small room downstairs. So this resource should be used by more people doing more things and become a meeting place for all the nonprofits that want to have a meeting place that it's appropriate for. So we've been expanding that mission to include meeting places. We've got a Girl Scout group that meets here. We've got a 4-H group that meets here. Curry Critters, I think, is the name of it. We have classes that come in, teachers from out of town, such as the Coast, COASST group that comes in and teaches people to recognize birds on the coast that have died and why did they die, and to do that research and send it back. And that's run out of the University of Washington. So all kinds of things happen here besides a typical senior center. I had someone ask me this morning, so you're not a typical senior center. I said, no, I wouldn't call us that.
Yeah, no. Well, the Pelican Bay Amateur Radio Club meets here.
Yes.
The Lions Club meets here. Mm-hmm. Even the Public Art Committee for the City of Brookings has begun meeting here recently, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, so it's really amazing that this, for a building that oftentimes was shutting down previously at 3 or 4 in the afternoon, now has a whole lifetime that's in the afternoon and evening after the doors close. That's really wonderful. Most nonprofits in this area struggle for donations sometimes and money.
Yes.
So I think any ways that we can collaborate.
Yes.
Exactly. Janice and I have been talking about that for a couple years, and this idea of collaborating and ways that we can work together and how we're all stronger when we communicate
together.
And work together.
Yes.
It doesn't always mean that we have to do everything the same, but when we work together in such a small area, we have limited resources.
Yes.
For our listeners on KCIW, is there anything that they could take away, a way that they could get involved with the Chetco Activity Center?
Oh, I would say, if at all possible, find a place to volunteer. We have 130-plus volunteers. You've heard a lot of examples. All these programs we've talked about are run by volunteers. We really only have, what, 5 staff members in the building. So it's really all about the volunteers. So the primary thing I would like to emphasize is the need for volunteers for all of these programs. And we have about a 20% churn in volunteers every month. So it's a matter of replacing people who are ill, who leave, who move, who cannot volunteer any reason, for whatever reason. And so volunteering is one way. Another way is to make donations. If you really feel that what we do here is valuable, help us keep doing it by making donations, making us a part of your annual donations that you make in the community for financials donations. And to remember the center. We have another thing is if you need to rent, we haven't even talked about renting. One of the ways I raise about $25,000 a year is by renting out the facility. If you have a wedding reception coming up, a memorial service, a party of any kind, this is a huge building. And if it is sitting here empty, we're going to rent it out. And so we have a lot of rentals. A lot of them come back year after year after year because they love it here. We also do catering. Catering out of this store, this whole building. And so Eleanor is an excellent cook. And so we've been kind of selling her services as a catering business on the side too to make money for the center. All proceeds flow through to support the programs that we do here.
And you can also become a member of the center.
Yes. The membership, really, the requirements are it's easy. It's just you walk in the door and say, I'd like to support the work of the center. I'd like to become a member here. By becoming a member here for just $15 a year, a person can get a $10 discount off their CalOR Lifelight, which most of us do have a CalOR Lifelight membership. But you get a free birthday ad in the Curry Coastal Pilot. You get a discount off of the Lifelight over in Medford.
Mercy Flights.
Mercy Flights. We get a $10 discount there as well. So there, right off the bat, I've eliminated the $15 by all the discounts that you can get in the community. So now, the other thing is you can have a voice in who runs the center and the direction of the center. Only members can vote for the board of directors. Only members can participate in the running of this wonderful place. So membership is important in that way, that if you were to want to participate in some of these programs, it would be a good idea to get involved and become a member and then have a voice in the running of the center itself. So membership is important for those reasons, in that you can have a voice in running the center as well as getting some discounts around town.
And does someone have to be 60 or better to become a member?
The actual requirements in our bylaws is 50.
50.
To be 50 years old.
Okay, cool. That's wonderful. So
Now we do have really associate members. We have a lot of associate members who pay the $15, but they're just not full-fledged members.
Okay, that's wonderful. Great ways to help keep this building open.
Right.
Yeah, it's a great resource. Is there anything you'd like to tell the listeners about your other passions in the community with the Activity Center and where you see this place going in the future?
I believe it is critical to have, it's not going to be a place where people come and sit down all the time. It's going to be a place where people come and find out what they can do next and then go out and do it. Everything, when you look at a lot of these things, in the past, a senior center was somewhere where people would go eat, sit down, play cards, play pool game, those kinds of things. But seniors today are different. They're active. They're involved. They're connected with community. They're doing things that are contributing back. One of our volunteers told me something once that I really thought was influential. She says, the first third of my life, I learned. The second third of my life, I worked. And the last third of my life, I give back. That's what we do. And so if we could all kind of think about that and perhaps look at all of these programs and see where maybe we could best contribute our time, our energies, or our money to support. But to see the center is not a place where people go and sit, but that a place where they come together and plan to do, and then to go out from the center and do something else in community. And see this as a gathering place for those people who want to do something, to contribute, to give back, rather than a place to sit and play cards.
And if younger people want to give back, we welcome them to come.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we actually, some of our Eleanor's grandchildren actually
always
come in
here
and volunteer.
Some of our youngest volunteers, yeah. And then I saw in the paper when I got my newspaper that one of our my intern from last year, who was here a lot and enjoyed the center and enjoyed everybody's company, just won that race that was down in Del Norte. And so we have young people coming in all the time to be volunteers, to contribute back, to especially during the summer. We have a lot of volunteers come in, young school children who come and do things. I had a youth group this week ask me if there was some things they could do around the center. So there's always room for volunteering.
Oh, that's wonderful. And for those that don't know where the Chetco Activity Center is located, do you want to?
I always say it's right smack dab in the center of Brookings. But it's if you're on 5th, then you look and see where the subway is. The center of Brookings is there on the corner of 5th and 101. And if you can see Subway, we're right behind Subway, right up the hill, about a block, and you can't miss the building. It's a huge white building with a green sign that says Chetco Activity Center on the side of it. And there's a bunch of buses parked out front.
Yeah, the Curry Public Transit, which is a great service. A lot happens here.
Absolutely.
A lot more than when I first came
Never
to a Tai
boring.
Chi class 2 years ago. Because that was my first introduction, was the beginning Tai Chi class. And as far as this center and the most exciting thing coming up in the next few months.
Well, I always enjoy new things beginning. And so I think the pickleball is going to be fun. It's going to be, again, it's an active seniors program. Mm-hmm. Rather than sitting around watching TV, we're doing something active. I think, too, we've got, is it Wyden's coming? We've got a town hall coming up. We've got... those are always interesting and exciting. We have the nutrition class coming up at the end every Friday on the end of each month. We have we're getting ready for our elections of the board. We got 3 board positions open. So if somebody listening would be wanting to serve as a leader of this organization, this is the time to think about it. There's a lot of exciting things. We don't have a boring day at the center.
Yeah, there's certainly not been a boring day. And it's a lot of fun.
Yes.
That's the big thing that's been...
Oh, my favorite thing is standing in the middle of the dining room and hearing all the laughing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, like today, the music, we have musical guests on a regular basis that come in and share music with us. And today, you want to tell us about who's been playing today?
Well, it's a conglomeration of folks that they go around and talk to each other and they say, well, Thursdays are open. I've told them that. And I said, if you want to come and play. And they have a certain style. It's like a blues or a laid back folk style. And so that's pretty much the kind of music we have on Thursdays. And it's really just a bunch of individuals who say, oh, let's go over to the center and play today. So it's kind of a different people each Thursday.
Yeah. And
like a jam session.
Well, yeah. And then Fridays, we've been having a lady come in and play the piano. Mm-hmm. And then there's another lady that plays the piano named Bonnie on Mondays.
Oh, yeah. And Tuesday and Wednesday is Anna. Now, Anna has played here for 15 years.
Wow.
And she has played here. She used to play every day, but now she's playing Tuesday and Wednesdays. And she loves it. She looks forward to it a great deal. What she does is she is very visually challenged. She's practically blind. But she goes around to each person in the dining room and asks them their favorite song. And then she remembers. She goes home, learns the song, comes back in, and she remembers. And then she'll say, Janice, is so-and-so here? Is so-and-so here? And then she plays their favorite song, and she goes through everybody's favorite song.
And then she'll come up to you afterwards and ask you did you hear me play it? She plays Somewhere Over the Rainbow and Alley Cat for me every time she comes.
Mine is Amazing Grace.
Amazing Grace, yes. Mm-hmm. Well, actually, you sing with her when she plays.
When she found out I was a singer, then it was a command performance. Every time she comes, I'm supposed to go up there and sing when she plays it.
Yeah, she's asked me a few times, is Janice here to come and sing Jesus Loves Me with me?
Yeah.
That's wonderful. I am so happy for all of the things that the center does. And
it's a great time to be here.
There's wonderful things happening and so many people. It's the largest group of volunteers in Curry County, correct?
It is, yeah. Mm-hmm. It is. In fact, I just joined the advisory group for RSVP. Most all our volunteers are members of that organization, which provides a little bit additional insurance for their time volunteering here. And again, it's a national organization of volunteers. It's called the Retired Senior Volunteer Program. And I've become more involved in that program as well to recruit more volunteers, to encourage our volunteers. And it has its own set of benefits. But yes, we do have a very, very large cadre of volunteers.
And one of Janice and I, one of our sort of collaborative passions is Wildriverse Connect. Mm-hmm. And do you want to tell them a little bit about that work that we do? And
Wildriverse Connect started as a dream of mine. When I came here 4 years ago, I sat down and I said, what do you mean there's no central database of all the nonprofit organizations in Curry County? That makes no sense. And so I decided it wasn't, I found the one at the library, but I says, why about on? It's static. It stands still. And what I think I would like to see is something that the people could update themselves. And if we put it online, then that means it's flexible. It's dynamic. It can change with time. And I said, okay, now let's take it a step further and let's talk about all the good things that the nonprofits are doing. All the good news that happens in this community. And so when working here and I see all these volunteers doing all these incredible things, we got to sing our own song. Folks. And so then that was Wild Rivers Connect was born. The idea of nonprofits talking about all the terrific things they're doing, what they have coming up, volunteer needs that they have, events that they have coming, fundraisers they have coming up, all these things needed a voice. They needed a place to be. And it made sense with the cost to do it online. And to do it in a, you know, in a way that younger folks, that people can access it from anywhere. And of course, even phones, you know, you can see what's going on in the community with the nonprofits this weekend by logging on with your phone. So that was a dream that has actually come to fruition. And we're looking now, it's got grant funding for its first few years to get it off the ground. And it is in the process of growing as we speak.
That's so wonderful. It's amazing how many people in this community care and give of their time, not just their finances, but right. There's some of us that don't have the privilege of having a lot of finances to be able to give monetarily, but by the aspect of giving our time and giving of our time with a smile.
Yes.
As so many of the volunteers here do and are so gracious. It's so wonderful to be a part of that. And thank you, Janice, for all that you do in the community. You're involved with the Grange.
Yes.
You're involved with so many different things. And
because I believe in it. Yes. I believe in all of them.
Yeah, and it's wonderful. Do you want to tell us like why you personally do this beyond just being the executive director? Because you donate your time to a lot of things in this county.
It started way back for me in the early 2000s. I was, at that time, I was a marketing director of a newspaper. And I moved to a town called Kewaunee, Illinois. Kewaunee, Illinois is the hog capital of the world. And I moved there from Oregon. And people kept stopping me on the street saying, why would you move to Kewaunee, Illinois with an unemployment rate of 59%? Smells like pigs all the time. Because it is. And it's the hog capital of the world. It's where hogs are raised. And people, it's just sad. They were depressed. It was a depressed economy. The stores were closed. And I looked around and I said, this place is golden. You have got golden-hearted people. You've got generation upon generation of people who have lived here. And I said, this is an incredible place. And I said, I'm sad that you can't see it, but let's work on this. And so I set myself out for 4 years and learned how fun and how rewarding it is to build up a community. And in the process, we established methods for filling the stores, for addressing the unemployment rate, we set about solving the problems ourselves and not asking anyone else to do it. We had a caterer of volunteers who got together every month and solved the problems of the community. Kewaunee, Illinois, I was able to turn the whole town around doing what we were doing as a team, a huge group of people who got together over the period of the 4 years, making changes in that community and telling each other about it. We did it on the pages of our paper, whereas that's for me was Wild Rivers Connect here. And to sing our own song and talk about the wonderful things because it encourages us to do more good things. So in that process, I won an award from the state of Illinois for Businesswoman of the Year. And it was for changing a town. The stores got filled. The people got employed. The hospital got fixed. The water system. I mean, all these things get fixed when people just set out to do it and do it ourselves. And so I had a fire lit within me. When it came time for me to move, and I moved to Crescent City from Kewaunee. And again, it was because the publisher of the paper drove me around during my job interview, and she chose me specifically for my community development efforts. She said, Crescent City needs you. Could you please move here and help us too? After winning that award and all the things that happened there, the mayor called me up on my last day in Kewaunee, and he said, Janice, this town is a better place for you having lived here. And I frankly want to hear that everywhere I live. So that's what gets me up every morning. That's what causes me to do all these things, is I want, no matter where I am, where I'm planted, or whatever I'm doing, for people to know that this place is a better place for me having been here.
That's wonderful. Thank you so much for being
long
a part
of... Long story to a short
No,
question.
It's wonderful. It's one of the things that Janice and I have been talking about in the community is getting more people. It's the point, whole point of this radio show is to have people on these podcasts and hopefully then also in person start sharing the good things they're doing and the positive things. It becomes really easy in our world today to focus on the negative. And think that the negative is the answer, and talking about the negative to fix something when we choose to become a part of the solution.
That's it.
Look at all the amazing things that happen here and all the ways that it's expanding to help the community in so many ways. I'm sitting here with Janice Scanlon, the executive director of the Czech Coactivity Center here on KCIW. The Czech Coactivity Center is located at 550 Chetco Lane in Brookings, right behind the subway, right in the center of town. Thank you so much, Janice, for being here with me today.
Thank you.
It's been a real privilege knowing you, and I hope you don't go anywhere anytime soon, because we enjoy you being a part of the solutions in our community.
Thank you,
Janice.
Thank you.
Have a great day.
Bye.
If you enjoyed this program, go to our website, kciw.org. Please make a donation if you enjoy this programming and you enjoy hearing positive stories about solutions in our community.